Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we begin, there is a small announcement for the little children as well as the parents. We kindly request all the parents to bring their children tomorrow inshallah, because we have a little surprise in store for the children tomorrow inshallah. The Al-Asr team has arranged a little surprise for the children. So please bring your children and come tomorrow inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. Before we continue with the story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, a couple of brothers as well as sisters posed this question yesterday, and I thought I'll address it before I go further inshallah ta'ala. And that is in regard to the father-in-law of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. We mentioned that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he went to the lands of Midian and he married one of the two women who were by the well after meeting their father. So the question was in regard to this man, the old man. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, the statement of the daughter, what does she say? Abuna shaykhun kabir. Our father is an old man, right? So the question that came in was in regard to whether this man was Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. Now in this regard, why I didn't mention any names was because there's a slight difference of opinion. There are certain historians who state that yes, it was Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was based in the lands of Madian after all. And there are others who state that he was not a prophet. His name was Shu'aib, but he wasn't the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. But instead he was a righteous man, a person who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we discussed the other day, when he offered his daughter's hand in marriage, what did he say? Ayyamal ajalayni qadayt fala udwana alay. In the sense, when he offered his daughter's hand in marriage, he said, you need to be with me for 8 years, and if you want, it's up to you. You can stay for 10 years, yeah. And what did he say? He said, "Tajiduni insha'Allahu minas salihin." You will find me from the righteous people. You will find me as a very righteous individual. So this other group of historians state that no, he wasn't the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, because if he was the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, there would have been proper mention. You know, there would have been a proper mention made about him in the Noble Quran. But we, when we analyze the story, we see that the daughters address him as Buna Shaykhun Kabir, and then he himself calls himself as a righteous individual. So based on that, because of the difference of opinion, we'll go with the narrative of the Quran that describes him as a righteous individual. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Okay, moving on. Now, where did we stop yesterday? We mentioned the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that descended upon Banu Israel. Can someone mention a few towards the end? What did we mention? It started off with what? Famine, drought, severe drought, and then came in him floods, right? And then locusts, right? And after the locusts, we said al-qummal, lice that, you know, drinks your blood, and also a type of insect that, you know, destroyed all the crops as well. And then came what? The thing that hops, the frogs, yeah? Remember? The frogs all over the place, yeah? And then finally, something red in color, blood with them. We mentioned that blood started to come out from every source of water that they had. Even the river Nile completely became red in color. It was full of blood. It was a very difficult punishment upon them. And each time, what did they do? They run to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, okay? And they say, intercede on behalf of us. We will definitely believe in you and we will release the Banu Israel. But they kept on breaking their word. They did not fulfill their promise. So now what happened throughout that you know, that stage, punishment after punishment, what they did was, instead of fulfilling their word, they intensified the torture even more than usual over the Banu Israel. Because the Banu Israel, the children of Israel, were under them, they were all slaves, right? So they intensified the torture over them instead of releasing them. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed unto Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that this is it, the people of Fir'aun, they're going to be destroyed. And it is time for you and the Banu Israel to all leave Egypt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Noble Quran, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَسْرِ بِعِبَادِهِ إِنَّكُمْ مُتَّبَعُونَ. And we inspired Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, take away my slaves. Allah Azza wa Jal is instructing Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, take away my slaves by night, for verily you will be chased, you will be pursued. So the command was to leave during the darkness of the night. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the believers from the people of Fir'aun, there were a few believers from the people of Fir'aun, and most importantly the Banu Israel, they all left during the night. They planned it out really well and they left during the night. Now this was a huge number of people, because Banu Israel was a pretty big tribe. But like I mentioned yesterday, at that point they consisted mostly of females, but there were males. And there were old men and women as well, and a lot of children. So all of them, they leave the lands of Egypt. Morning comes, morning arrives, and Fir'aun gets wind of this. And what does he do? He immediately dispatches all of his, he musters his whole army, all of his forces, to go behind Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Banu Israel, capture all of them and bring them back. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, فَأَرْسَلَ فِرْعَوْنُ فِي الْمَدَائِنِ حَاشِرِينَ. Fir'aun, he sent callers to all the cities, you know. Basically, he mustered all his forces to capture Banu Israel and bring them back to Egypt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the forces of Fir'aun, and he azza wa jal states, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَشِرْذِمَةٌ قَلِيلٌ. Verily, they are nothing but a shirdhima qaleelun. They are nothing but a small band of people. You know, he was the ruler at that time and he had so many forces. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, that is nothing. So now, they left during the night, right? So one day passes and the next day during sunrise, it was just by sunrise, what had happened was, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Banu Israel, they were traveling. They kept traveling. They had a good lead ahead of them, right? So they kept traveling until finally they had to pass through a passage of mountains, yeah, like a valley, and then they come upon the ocean, Bahar. Now which ocean is this? Are we talking about River Nile? Are we talking about the Mediterranean seas? Well, scholars of history, they mention that there's a difference of opinion as to whether it was one of the Mediterranean seas or the Red Sea itself. And most of the historians point out to the Red Sea. So they basically came by the Red Sea. And now they were at a loss in regard to what they should do. Because now they knew that Fir'aun must have dispatched his forces. And they could see a cloud of dust far behind them. And they knew for a fact that the horsemen of Fir'aun were galloping towards them. And when they looked forward, the huge, vast ocean. They did not have any artillery, they did not have any weapons to fight the people of Fir'aun, nor did they have a boat or some kind of a ship perhaps to get them across the ocean. They were trapped right in the middle. And now by the moment the people of Fir'aun, the forces of Fir'aun were getting closer and closer. Fir'aun was with them and Fir'aun was urging them forward, because Fir'aun, he had his, you know, instructors, his advisors and all of them, and they told him, they are trapped, the Red Sea, they can't go anywhere, there's no way out for them, you can catch them. So Fir'aun was very confident and he was galloping as fast as possible to catch up with them and, you know, take the hold of them, capture them and bring them all back to the lands of Egypt. Now, فَأَتْبَعُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, فَأَتْبَعُوهُمْ مُشْرِقِينَ. They pursued them, they chased them at sunrise. فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. Now what happened? Now they had come so close. Now they could basically almost see one another. And when the two hosts saw each other, قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. Now the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when they saw Fir'aun, they could literally see Fir'aun. They could see his people, they're coming. You know, they can see the clouds of dust, they can see the horses, the animals all galloping towards them. All these forces, all these soldiers, all of them, they're coming towards them. They look behind them, they see the ocean. There's no way out. They were, you know, on the shore of the beach at that time. So they say, Inna la mudrakun, we are going to be overtaken, we are finished. We are finished. There's no way out for us. And at that point, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, but he hadn't still received any command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? He replies, قَالَ كَلَّهَا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. He says, nay, verily, إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. With me is my Lord, and He will guide me. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to point out something. Do you notice something different here? Do you notice something different in the way Musa alayhi salatu wasalam handled the situation, in the way Musa alayhi salatu wasalam reacted? Any difference? What? No fear factor. Fear is gone. All the while, you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reassure Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, la takhaf, innaka anzal a'la, you are going to, you know, be one from the victorious ones. You're going to be, or you will overpower them. But at this point, he hadn't still received the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a human being, he also knew that, you know, we're all trapped, in the sense, the ocean behind us. He didn't know about the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great miracle that's going to happen in another few minutes. He didn't know about it, because he hadn't received the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was sure, because of all the tajarrubat, because of the experiences and because of the lessons he had learned throughout the mission, he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for us and He is not going to let us down, because after all, He is the best disposer of affairs. Now he had mastered the concept of tawakkul. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And that's why he says, إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Indeed, my Lord, He will guide us towards a path for us to be, you know, come out of this predicament, for us to come out of this problem. So he was very, very confident. And it was at this time, the minute he uttered this, and of Fir'aun and his army, they were nearing Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Banu Israel. Allah Azza wa Jal commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to strike the ocean with what? His asa. One powerful asa. Allahu Akbar. He was commanded to strike the ocean with his asa. He immediately obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He immediately complied and he struck the ocean, struck the water with his asa. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنِ اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرَ فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالتَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. We inspired Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, strike the sea, strike the ocean with your stick. And the minute he struck the ocean, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the sea parted into two. The sea parted into two, and the two parts became like the huge firm mass of a mountain. كَالتَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. Basically, the two sides, the ocean split into two, and the two sides became like two walls, huge walls, just like two huge mountains. And the middle, there was a dry pathway, you know, reserved for them to cross the ocean. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Banu Israel quickly rushed through the middle. Now if you were to think about this, and if you were to look at it from a modern point of view, this is basically a tsunami. This is a tsunami that took place. When you look at the description, because what happens when a tsunami takes place is, because of huge pressure, what happens is the water goes back, the water recedes, and that's what becomes a huge wall up there. It's basically a huge tidal wave. A tsunami is a tidal wave. It's a huge wave. So this pressure is caused for a number of reasons. There can be a volcanic eruption under the sea. There can be, and most of the time it's because of an earthquake or these, you know, the tectonic plates under the ocean, they move. Because of that movement, the friction, it causes the water to recede and it creates that wall. So this force, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously created the energy. The minute He struck the ocean, that caused such an eruption. There was so much of energy in it that the water receded. It became two huge tidal waves. Two huge tidal waves. And the middle was dry, perfectly dry. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and the Banu Israel, they crossed very swiftly. They crossed over and alhamdulillah, they reached the other side safely. Now Fir'aun and his forces, they reached the ocean. And when you look, study the way how a tsunami works, the water can rise and rise for some time. It can become so this must have been like one mega tsunami. It must have been one huge tidal wave. And now Fir'aun comes at the correct moment and he looks at his forces and he's feeling insecure. Because this was another huge sign. He knew that this is not for him. It was all for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam being the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was feeling very, very insecure. And he knew that if he were to go forward, you know, this is not going to be good for him and his forces. They're all going to perish. But the people from behind, they were all urging him, telling him, Ya Fir'aun, you know, you are our Lord, the Most High, and the ocean has, you know, parted for you, because you are the Lord, you are the God. They kept urging him forward. But he didn't want to go forward. He was at the head of the army. If he moves forward, they all follow suit. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, scholars of tafsir, they mentioned, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came forward and urged the horse of Fir'aun to move forward. Because he was such an oppressor, such a tyrant, he didn't want him to escape the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even by, you know, not going into the ocean. He pushed the horse of Fir'aun forward and the horse galloped forward. The minute Fir'aun galloped forward, his forces, everybody, they followed suit and now they all are going through the passage. That's when the tsunami came crashing down. That's when the two tidal waves, which were like mountains, like two huge walls, they came crashing down and destroyed every single individual from the forces of Fir'aun, including Fir'aun. But a small point to be highlighted. Fir'aun is now drowning. He is drowning. I mean, water, the ocean, it's not just one tiny puddle. This is the ocean we're talking about. Salty water from all over the place. And just imagine coming, crashing down a mountain of water. Just imagine the force, the volume. You understand? So everything was destroyed. There's nothing to, you know, talk about. Now, Fir'aun was floundering in the water and he was about to die. Scholars of tafsir mentioned that at that point, okay, at that point, he wanted to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was fumbling for the words. He was fumbling for the words because he thought, now this is it, he's going to die. And he realized that all, you know, his claims for divinity were all false. And he thought of seizing the opportunity and was fumbling for the words to profess his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam saw that water was stuffed into his mouth and that he kept quiet. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that he feared that even at that point, being such an oppressor, being such a tyrant, after all that he did, after all the corruption, all the mischief, all the wrong, all the evil that he did, if he had turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam actually feared that Allah azza wa jal would forgive him. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when you look at this, you know, it fills your heart with so much of hope. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. We should never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us sadly think that, you know, I've committed so much of wrong, I've committed so much of evil, Allah won't forgive me. You know, that thought of yours needs a separate tawbah. That thought of yours needs a separate tawbah. Because Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. We're never supposed to give up hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in motion. Allah azza wa jal exacted retribution from them and drowned them all in the sea because they rejected so much of His signs. Allahu Akbar. Not just one or two. So many signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them. From the first two miracles, the snake and the hand, and afterwards sign after sign. But they rejected all of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They failed to take warning from those signs. So they were all destroyed, they were all drowned. And later on, the body of Fir'aun, the sea, you know, actually coughed out the body of Fir'aun. It was lying on the shores. And until today, when you go, visit Egypt, you'll find the body of Fir'aun is still preserved and intact. And it is a sign for the nations afterwards to ponder and reflect in regard to what happened to the nations of the past. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Now, in regard to the Banu Israel and Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Noble Quran, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ فَأَتَوْا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. Okay, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ. And we brought the children of Israel with safety across the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنْجَيْنَا مُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He saved Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, and He saved all of the individuals who were with Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, the believers who believe in Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. But now, put yourselves in the shoes of Banu Israel. Just as how Fir'aun and the disbelievers had witnessed so many signs, even Banu Israel had witnessed all these signs. And these are amazing signs, you know, clear, manifest signs. And just a while ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from the oppressor, from the tyrant Fir'aun, by helping them, by bringing them across the sea in such a miraculous way. But just a few days pass, and now they, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Noble Quran, فَأَتَوْا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. After a period of time, now they cross by a village. They're actually traveling, they're moving, right? So they pass by a village where they find the people of that village used to worship idols because they could see idols. عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. So when they saw these idols, they looked at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and they requested, they demand, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى جَعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَةً. Oh Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, why don't you bring about for us an idol just like they have, you know? Why can't we also have idols like they have idols? Now you see, now the issues with the Banu Israel begin, and you will realize what kind of a nation they were. I mean, after witnessing so many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they, you know, kept on persisting in their ignorance and in their, you know, stubbornness, Banu Israel, after witnessing so many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look, after witnessing so many signs, after witnessing the power and the grandeur, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they look at these idols and they ask Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, why can't we also have idols like they have idols? Allahu Akbar. They're trying to associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam looks at them very sternly and he says, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. You are indeed nothing but a nation, an ignorant nation. You are all ignorant. You're so ignorant. After witnessing so many signs, you want to worship idols, you want to associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ مُتَبَّرٌ مَا هُمْ فِيهِ وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then added to it by saying, verily these people, the ones who are worshipping these idols, will be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for associating partners unto Him Azza wa Jal. Now as they were traveling, at a given point, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had an appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal, in regard to that particular appointment, to fast for 1 month. He had to fast for 1 month before speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He Azza wa Jal mentions in the Noble Quran, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states, we appointed for Musa 30 nights. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he left the Banu Israel. He put his brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam in charge. And he had to go speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to... He wanted to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla in regard to the divine commandments, in regard to the legislation for the Banu Israel and other matters. So he was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fast for 30 days before the appointment. So he goes in seclusion and he fasts for 30 days. And after 30 days, now he approaches the point where he had to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after fasting for 30 days, some scholars rahimahumullah mentioned that it was consecutive 30 days. he had this foul smell that was coming from his mouth, which is natural when a person fasts because of the emptiness of the stomach. There's a foul smell that emits from your mouth. So he went by a particular plant, a sweet smelling plant that, you know, had roots that had a good smell, a good fragrance to it, and he brushed his teeth, something similar to miswak, to remove the smell, because after all he's going to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is mentioned in certain books of tafsir. So now after doing that, he goes now to the point where he had to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah azza wa jal informed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as to why he did that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also informed him that the breath of a fasting person, the breath of a fasting person is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, is more beloved to me, O Musa, than even the fragrance of musk. Than even the fragrance of musk. So if there is a bad odor that comes from your mouth, know for a fact that you're fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is because of your fasting, right? So that smell is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the fragrance of musk. But that does not mean that you go around and start breathing into people's faces, right? It's more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we must behave accordingly, yeah? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now instructed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because of the fact that he had, you know, removed the odor, Allah azza wa jal instructed him, وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. He was commanded to fast another 10 days. He was commanded to fast another 10 days to complete 40 days. So he completes, فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلًا. He completes 40 nights now, and then now this conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins. He speaks to Allah Azza wa Jal, because after all, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was known as Kalimullah. He spoke directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he gives Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the Torah. He was given the commandments. He was given the legislation that he and his people, the Banu Israel, had to follow. Now, after all of that, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something. And Allah azza wa jal mentions this amazing incident in the noble Quran.
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْذُرْ إِلَيْكَ قال لن تراني ولكن انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وخر موسى صعقا
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. And when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came at the time and place appointed by us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and his Lord spoke to him, he said, oh my Lord, Rabbi arini. Now he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you know, because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was only hearing the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a voice that befits His majesty and glory. كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِشَأْنِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ. Not like our voices. When I say voice, you should not think, oh, it's like how I'm speaking. No. The voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We affirm the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in regard to its how, we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make tafweel. We entrust it to Allah azza wa jal in regard to how the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. Allah azza wa jal talks about His face in the noble Quran. Allah talks about His hand in the noble Quran. We affirm all of that. But in regard to how the face, we don't say that His face was or is like our faces, right? Because لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We affirm the face, but in regard to how, we don't know. Allahu alam, Allah knows best. Okay? So, now he was hearing the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was so intrigued, he wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, which believer would not want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So he cries out, Ya Allah, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, I want to see you. I want to see you, Ya Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal then informs Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Musa, lan tarani. You will not be able to see me, because in dunya you cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Qiyamah, the believers will all get to see Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with His sight. I mean, so that we all see Him, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal informs this to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he keeps insisting, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And then Allah azza wa jal informs Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, okay, Undur ila al-Jabal, look at that mountain. And beside Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, there was a huge mountain. There was a barren, huge, solid rock mountain. He said, look at the mountain. Okay, فَإِنِسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, I will reveal a tiny fraction. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. I will reveal a tiny fraction to that mountain. And if it can stand it, if that mountain can stand it, then you will be able to see me. Now soon Allah Azza wa Jalla informed Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam about that, the mountain just blasted into smithereens, into tiny little pieces. It basically became dust. The minute Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw that, وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَيْقًا, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he fell down unconscious. He just fell down unconscious. He fainted the minute he saw that, because it was too overwhelming. It was too much for him to bear. And he didn't even look at Allah azza wa jal. He was looking at the mountain, and he saw the mountain blasting into smithereens. He fell down unconscious, he fainted. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And now when he recovered his senses, when he came to his senses, he said, سُبْحَانَكَ, glory be unto you, Ya Allah. Glory be unto you. سُبْحَانَكَ Subhatu ilayk, I turn to you in tawbah. I turn to you in tawbah. Subhana, glory be unto you. Wa ana awwalul mu'mineen, and I am the first of the believers. He reaffirmed his faith very strongly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, hadith is in Muslim. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu anhu, he states, he reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Inna Allah la yanam. وَلَا يَنْبَذِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ يَخْفِذُ الْقِسْتَ وَيَرْفَعُ يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ وَعَمَلُ النَّهَارِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ اللَّيْلِ حِجَابُهُ النُّورُ لَوْ كَشَفَهُ لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبْحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْ تَهَى إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ. Nor does it befit His Majesty, His glory, to sleep. It does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He should sleep. يَخْفِدُ الْقِسْتَ وَيَرْفَعُ. He raises the scales of things and He lowers them. يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ. The night, the deeds of the night go up to Him before the deeds of the day. The deeds of the day go up to Him before the deeds of the night. حِجَابُهُ النُّورُ. The veil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made of light. لَوْ كَشَفَهُ, if He Azza wa Jal were to remove it, لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبْحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْ تَهَى إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. The glow of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grandeur of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would engulf every single, would burn every, لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبْحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ, would burn every single creation of His in the path of His eyesight to ashes. Allahu Akbar. It would burn every single creation of His in the path of His eyesight to ashes. Now when you talk about the path of His eyesight, remember, the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like your sight. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Our eyesight, yeah, the way, for example, my sight, I can look up to the wall there and I can't see past the wall. I mean, I can't see past this wooden frame, right? I can't see under the ground. There is a certain distance that I can see. I mean, even if it was an open area, there is a certain distance I can see. I can't zoom, and I can't see. But there is nothing hidden from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing. So scholars, rahimahumullah, mentioned, then, once this is established, that there is nothing hidden from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would burn to ashes if Allah azza wa jal were to remove His veil. Because nothing is hidden from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single creation of His would burn to ashes. This is the greatness and the glory of our Maker, Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, so coming back to the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal then went on to inform Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Musa, inni istafaytuka ala nasi bi risalati wa bi kalami. O Musa, I have chosen you above men by message, by my message wa bi kalami, and by the fact that I am speaking to you. فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. So take what I have given you and be from those who are grateful unto me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to render gratitude unto Him Azza wa Jal. Ameen. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his joy knew no bounds because he had the وَكَتَبْنَا, he had the alwah with him, slates. He had written all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed him, the Torah, the legislations, the divine commandments. He takes all of that and he rushes to Banu Israel now to inform them of all of this. He was so happy. He rushes back to them only to find out, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, وَاتَّخَذَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ حُلِيِّهِمْ عِجْلًا جَسَدَ لَهُ خُوَارٌ. Only to find out that during his absence, they had started to worship a calf. You know, the little one of the cow. A calf made out of gold. He could not believe his eyes. He was just gone for a few days, 40 nights, and he comes back to find out that they have left the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they had started worshipping a golden calf. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he could not contain himself, because we have mentioned this before, he was a prophet of Allah who was quick in terms of his temper. He had a quick temper. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَلَمَّا رَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا قَالَ بِئْسَ مَا خَلَفْتُمُونِي مِنْ بَعْدِي أَعَجِلْتُمْ أَمْرَ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَلْقَى الْأَلْوَاحَ وَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِ أَخِيهِ يَجْرُوهُ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ ابْنَ إن القوم استضعفوني وكادوا يقتلونني فلا تشمت بي الأعداء ولا تجعلني مع القوم الظالمين.
When Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام returned to his people, he was angry and he was, you know, very upset. He was angry and very upset. He said, "What an evil thing is that which you have done," in other words, worshipping the calf, "during my absence." Okay? And then, what did he do? وَأَلْقَى الْأَلْوَاحِ. He threw the slates that he had in his hand, because he was so angry. وَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِ أَخِي. He went and held Harun alayhi salatu wasalam by his head like this, okay? And he started to drag him. He started to drag Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he holds the beard of Harun alayhi salatu wasalam like this, and he asks him, "What on earth? Well, I put you in charge, and what have you done?" And Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was very soft-spoken. He said, "Yabna oh my brother, please, you know, don't blame me. Innal qawma istada'afuni. The people, they threatened to kill me. They threatened to kill me, and they were threatening me. And I feared that there would be a war, you know, if we tried to do something. So I waited for you." And this was his excuse. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he looked at the qawm and he asked them, "Why did you, you know, do this? Why are you doing this? Why are you worshipping this in place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is just nothing but an idol. It was a calf. A calf made out of gold, okay? It was made out of gold, and its insides were hollow. There was a hollow tube kind of a thing by its mouth. So because of that, air used to enter through the calf, and there used to be this hollow sound that used to come from the calf. They thought this was some magical, you know, super calf, and they used to worship it during the absence of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So now, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asks them, "Why did you do this? What made you do this?" Then they said, "Look, we don't know. The culprit is this man. He is the one who instructed us to do this. Who is the man? Bring him forward. He is Samirij." Okay, so bring Samirij forward. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he asks Samiri, "Qala, fama khatubuka ya Samiri? What made you do this, O Samiri? What's your problem? I mean, what made you do this?" Then Samiri, he says, "Qala basurtu بما لم يبصروا به فقبضت قبضة من أثر الرسول فنبذتها وكذلك سولت لنفسي. Now what happened was Samiri, once when this is what the scholars of tafsir mentioned, once Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had come down and Samiri had noticed it. Now remember, you can't see angels in their true form. So scholars of tafsir mentioned it was perhaps a time when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had come in the guise of a human being. Okay, and Samiri had observed this and he had taken فَقَبَضْتُ قَبْضَةً مِنْ أَثَرِ الرَّسُولِ. He had come on a horse, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and Samiri had taken a little bit of sand from the footprints of the horse. Okay, and this sand had special properties because after all it was connected to an angel. This is what the scholars of tafsir mentioned. He had taken that sand and he had fashioned a calf out of the gold jewelry that the Banu Israel had, and he blew this dust, he blew this sand. You know, it was some form of magic that he did, and he blew this sand on the calf, and the calf started to move a bit. Scholars of tafsir mentioned that it only moved once. There's another report that it moved twice. It was just at a time, maybe it never moved at all. It was just that hollow sound that was coming from inside the calf that made them all believe that this is some special calf, and they started to worship the calf. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, very sternly, he exiles Samiri and he says, قَالَ فَذْهَبْ فَإِنَّ لَكَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ أَن تَقُولَ لَا مِسَاسِ. He exiles him and he says, verily your punishment in this life will be that you will tell the people, do not touch me. You won't be able to touch people, nor will others touch you. You have been banished. No one will come near you. You will live your life alone. So Samiri was banished away from the Banu Israel. And that was the end of the story of Samiri. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam immediately saw that that calf was broken down into pieces and melted, because it was made of solid gold and silver and whatnot, precious metals. It was broken down and melted, and the remaining was all thrown into the ocean so that nobody would ever commit that act again. But now they had to make tawbah. They had committed a grave error. They had to all do tawbah because of the mistake they committed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he informs them, يا قوم إنكم ظلمتم أنفسكم باتخاذكم العجل فتوبوا إلى بارئكم فاقتلوا أنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم عند بارئكم فتاب عليكم إنه هو التواب الرحيم. They were commanded to make tawbah, and what was their tawbah? They had to fight one another. That was their tawbah. They had to fight one another. In the sense, the ones who did not worship the calf had to fight against the ones who worshiped the calf. Now this was their form of tawbah. So the minute the command came down, the ones who did not worship the calf fought against the ones who worshiped the calf. And because of that particular war, because of that war, thousands were killed. Thousands were killed from the ones who worshipped the calf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. He accepted your repentance. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is indeed the one who accepts repentance, the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thousands were killed. From the remaining, now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was still not happy because this was a grave error. From the ones remaining, from the believers, he chose 70 of them. 70 special ones from them. They are the ones who used to indulge in a lot of worship. They were very righteous. He chose 70 of them and he once again went to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to cry out and seek his forgiveness as much as possible. So these 70 individuals, including Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal forgave all of them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. After that, look at the Banu Israel. They demand now. They tell Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, oh Musa, you know, we won't believe in you. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked them, why? What happened? We just now sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, we will not believe in you. We will believe under one condition. We will believe under one condition. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّىٰ نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْذُرُونَ. They said, O Musa, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ. We will not believe, we will never believe in you. حَتَّىٰ نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. Until we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly. We want to see Allah azza wa jal. The minute they said that, because after witnessing all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only now Allah azza wa jal just forgave them, and they start up with this, you know, obstinate and stubborn demand, فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةَ. There was a flash of lightning suddenly. No sooner they uttered this, there was a flash of lightning, and they were all killed on the spot. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْدُرُونَ. They were all killed immediately. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْدُرُونَ. In the sense, whilst you were looking at it. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was looking at them, and they were all killed by this flash of lightning. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam immediately cries unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I came with 70 of them. If I go back now alone, they're going to think that I killed them, and that will cause another big problem amongst my tribe. Oh Allah, please forgive them and give them life again. Allah Azza wa Jal, He accepted the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal raised them up from the dead once again, so that they could become grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the things that were happening amidst the Banu Israel. They were a very, you know, stubborn nation. And that's why sometimes, you know, people say, don't ask questions like the Banu Israel. Because they were a very, you know, inquisitive, very stubborn nation who wanted to make things a lot difficult for themselves. They used to make things a lot difficult. Like say, for example, there is this one incident very quickly. There was one man who died. A man who died amidst them. Before that, they were on their way towards Baytul Maqdis. Anyway, this journey, they were on their way towards Baytul Maqdis. So during this journey, this incident takes place. One man dies from the Banu Israel, and they go to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they ask Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Musa, we want to find out who killed this man, who murdered this man. Can you help us out in this regard? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا قَالُوا وَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. The command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came that they were supposed to sacrifice a cow. They were supposed to slaughter a cow. So he immediately informed them, slaughter a cow. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come and ask him, we want to know who killed the murderer. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told them, slaughter a cow, you will find out. They looked at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and said, قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. Do you take us for a joke? They ask this from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, do you take us for a joke? Are you pulling our legs? قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam looks at them and says, قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from becoming of those who are ignorant. Because he sees so much of ignorance in them. They asked, they want to know who killed the man. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, slaughter a cow. And then they say, are you fooling with us? Are you playing the fool? Allahu Akbar. Then they go on to say, okay, fine, we'll slaughter a cow. But now what was the first command? Slaughter any cow. Just go and slaughter a cow. That was the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know what they did? قَالُوا دَعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. They tell him, O Musa, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regard to what cow should we slaughter. First the command came, slaughter any cow. Now they want to know what kind of a cow they should slaughter. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal informs, قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا فَارِضٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ فَافْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Allah azza wa jal then informs Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, tell them, it should be a cow, neither too old, nor too young. Now the conditions start coming. Neither too old nor too young, but it should be between the two conditions. It should be in between the two conditions. Neither too old nor too young. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told them, فَفَعْلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Just do what you are being commanded to do. Don't complicate things for yourself. But now, they wanted to complicate things for themselves. قَالُوا دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. O Musa, can you please pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask in regard to what kind of a cow? قَالُ دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. What color should the cow be? Now they want to know what color should the cow be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs, إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ صَفْرَاءُ فَاقِعُ لَوْنُهَا تَسُرٌ نَاظِرِينَ. It should be a cow, yellow color cow. You know, like the vanilla milk packets. It should be a yellow color cow. It should be bright in its color. And it should be pleasing for the people who are looking. Now look how complex it has become. It was just slaughter any cow. But now they have to look for a cow, neither too old nor too young, and a yellow color cow. But still, go ahead and now look for that cow. No, again.
قَالُوا دَعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ
O Musa, pray to your Lord and ask Him to make it clear for us. يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي What type of a cow? Because إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا Because all the cows look similar to us. All the cows look similar to us. وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ And then inshallah, if Allah wills, we will be guided to doing the correct thing. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam prays to Allah. And now the final condition comes about. It should be, إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا ذَلُونٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَا تَسْقِي الْحَرْثِ مُسَلَّمَةٌ لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا It should be a cow neither trained to till the soil nor water the fields. Now which cow? Generally, you have a cow to do what? To train the, to till the ground, to water the field. This is why you use a cow. You don't have a cow just to chill and walk around on the streets. Now, they had to find that kind of a cow that has never tilled the ground nor watered the crops. And مُسَلَّمَةٌ لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا And it should be a cow free from all defects. Now they say, قَالُوا الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَقِّ Now you have said the truth. Now after making it so complicated for themselves, الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَقِّ Now Musa, you have come with the truth. فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ And then now what they do, they go hunting for this cow. They couldn't find this cow except that there was one individual who had the cow. And he knew the demand for his cow because this was the only cow in town. It was another branded cow, yeah? So he said, okay, I'll sell you all my cow, but in terms of its price, I want its skin full of gold coins. After you slaughter it, my price for the cow is that you must fill its skin with gold coins. Now they had no choice. If it were just any ordinary cow, they could have perhaps purchased it, you know, for a few or one or two gold coins. But now they had to pay a whole skin, a whole cow skin full of gold coins because they complicated things for themselves. They asked too many questions. They asked too many questions. And some of us today also suffer this Banu Israel syndrome. You know, we have this Banu Israel syndrome where we ask too many questions and tend to complicate things upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from the Banu Israel syndrome, the question syndrome. Okay? So then they finally found the cow. They paid the price. They slaughtered it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructed them, take a piece from the cow, be it the leg of the cow or the tongue of the cow. There are different reports to say different parts of the cow. Take a part of the cow and hit, strike the dead man. The minute they did that, the dead man got up. The dead man got up. He pointed at the person who killed him. And after all, it was his nephew who had killed him. His nephew who wanted to inherit from him. He wanted to, you know, speed the process by killing his uncle to get the money quickly. The man pointed at that individual. He is the one who killed me. And the man went back to, sleep, the dead world. So they immediately found that this man to be, they found this man to be guilty. And they exacted a retribution, and with that the story comes to an end. But the moral at the end of the day, we understand that the Banu Israel, they were a very, you know, stubborn nation. And we will discuss as we go, inshallah, there are other things also in regard to them. They were headed towards Baitul Maqdis. What happened in Baitul Maqdis? Did they reach Baitul Maqdis? It's a little more to, you know, end with the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But we'll do that tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. There was one question that came in yesterday. And I would like to touch on that before we wrap off. And that was in regard to software piracy. The question that came in was specifically in regard to Viber stickers. The brother who asked me the question said that now on Viber you have stickers that you can purchase stickers. Costs maybe a dollar or two perhaps. And there are also ways to crack and download the stickers free of charge. So is it permissible to do so? So discussing about Viber, it's just not only Viber. Today you have people who use cracked versions of the Windows software. They have, you know, pirated copies of Windows and even other softwares as well. Like say for example Photoshop, After Effects and all the works basically. Now what the scholars, the majority of the contemporary scholars state is that Software piracy is tantamount to theft of intellectual property. In other words, to simplify it, it is akin to stealing. It is similar to stealing because it is the intellectual property of a company, of an individual. For example, the stickers belong to Viber. So if you crack it and if you download it, you're stealing from Viber. Windows, the original version, belongs to Windows. And that's why even when you download the pirated version, it keeps telling you, this is not a licensed copy. This is not a licensed copy. So deep down you know, I'm doing something wrong. But then we try to justify it. No, chef, it's so expensive. You know, Windows is very expensive. Photoshop is $1,000. How to buy it? Sometimes I have even, you know, advise certain brothers who work in dawah organizations. Sometimes you go and mashallah, they're making all these nice posters, nice quotes. But when you look at the Photoshop, it's a pirated Photoshop. Mashallah, you're doing dawah on a pirated Photoshop. Is it halal or not? No. You have to do it the legal way. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is not permissible and it is not befitting. Especially for a believer. It is not befitting a Muslim, it is not befitting for a believer to be a robber, to be a thief. So it's not permissible at all. And today, when you look at Adobe CC, Creative Cloud, now it's affordable. Yeah, in those days, it was pretty expensive. You had to shell out $1,000 or maybe $800 to get the whole suite. But now, it's only $40 to $50 per month. You get all the applications. I mean, we use it and we know it's cheap. You can do it the legal way. If you're finding it difficult with Windows, then switch to Apple. Apple is free. You get El Capitan is coming out in a few months. It's free of charge. You can just download it and install it. But I think even Windows will follow suit and it will be free of charge. But even if it's not free of charge, it's not an excuse to download the pirated version and install it. Some brothers, they also justify saying that, you know, we go to this shop and we paid 100 rupiah and bought the CD, the pirated CD. So we actually paid money. No, you know the true value. You know the true value. Like say, for example, if an iPhone costs $1,000, can you go to a shop and buy it for $10? No. It's halal for me anyway. That brother could have... You know something's fishy. You're buying it for $10. You know the true value of the product. So it's not befitting that a believer acts in such a way. So we must be extremely careful. We must not indulge. Number one, according to many countries, it is illegal. And if you are caught, you can be tried for that and you will be held guilty for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So as believers, we must not indulge in software piracy in any form or in any way. Not for personal use, not for commercial use. There are even people who at times download these softwares, burn it onto CDs, sell it and do all that stuff. That is like intensifying that which has been prohibited. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and may He help us to stay upon that which is halal, that which is permissible, and to stay away from that which is haram. Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.